Today's reading is from Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And Colossians 3, 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
If you haven't already, you can turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to be in Exodus 20, but also in Ephesians chapter 6. And we are in the middle of a teaching series on the Ten Commandments. And today we are looking at the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and mother. I don't know about you, but this one is very personal to me. Because when I was growing up, my parents and I had a very tumultuous relationship, especially with me and my mother. My mother and I are both very strong-willed, independent people, and we would butt heads a lot, all the time. I don't know if any of you ever experienced this, but when I was a teenager, I kind of felt like my parents were out of touch with reality, and that they didn't understand me, didn't understand what it was like to be a teenager. I thought that I knew better than everything, all right? I'm sure none of you have experienced that before. My mother had strict rules in place that I thought were too strict, and I thought that she was stifling me. I thought that she was slowing me down, and she was not letting me be independent, and I thought that she was not letting me live a normal teenage life, and in my teenage wisdom, I thought that I knew better than she did. And I thought that that I was always the victim. I was always getting grounded and always getting in trouble. And I thought it was always I was the victim. It was always her fault. And I was always causing conflict and unrest in our house because of my disobedience, because my willful rebellion to do as I wanted to do. And I always found a way to put it back on her. You know, it wasn't until after I had moved out and went to college and came to know the Lord and began to grow my walk with him that I realized after a while that, you know, maybe my mom was onto something. Maybe she was not as crazy as I thought she was. Maybe she really does have a lot of wisdom. Maybe she really did know what she was doing. Maybe she really did want the best for me. And I look back on that time, and I've had to make a lot of amends over the years and realize that I made a lot of mistakes. And we have a great relationship now, my mother and I, but it did not come without pains. It did not come without me having to apologize and realize that I was wrong. I made a lot of mistakes. My disobedience caused a lot of pain in our family. And if you are a child in this room, or a young adult, or a teenager, I share this with you, because you are growing up in a society where you are taught and influenced, whether it's by media or just other people or just the way that we live, that you are being taught that it is cool or it is okay to disrespect your parents, to question authority, to resist authority. Kids and teenagers, have you ever felt like your parents were just uncool? You ever felt like they just didn't know what they were doing? You ever felt like they don't understand me, or they don't understand what it means to be a teenager? In our culture today, the institution of the family is under attack in so many different ways, marriage and gender and all these different things, but one aspect of that is the devaluing of the parents' authority. And our culture will tell you that if you have these feelings about your parents, if you feel like your parents are not cool, if you feel like your parents are they're not it, then the way to deal with that is to push back, to resist the authority, to go your own way. But I speak to you as somebody who has tried this, somebody who has tried this and failed miserably. And I want you to know that resisting and rejecting your parents' authority will not bring you the freedom and independence that you crave. And it will only create more strife, more conflict, and more unrest. But don't just take my word for it. Look at what the Word of God says, and we'll see that God is serious about the way that we regard our parents. My main point this morning is this, that it is God's will and command for you to honor your father and mother, and if you do, you will reap the fullness of God's blessing. Now, I know all the parents in here are saying, yeah, preach it. But parents, you are not off the hook here either. There is no age limit to this commandment. You don't hit a certain age where you realize, I don't need to honor my father and mother anymore. This applies to all of us. Whether you are a young child still living under your parents' roof, whether you are a young adult and you're on your own, whether you are older and your parents are elderly, this applies to you. Even if your parents have passed, this applies to you. Even if your parents are difficult, this applies to you. This applies to all of us. We are commanded to honor our father and mother. And so we'll examine this by looking at three things. First, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? And two, how do I honor my father and mother? And three, how Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of this commandment. And so first, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? It's important to note first that this fifth commandment is the start of a new focus here in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments have to deal with how we relate to God, how we love God, how we worship God. You shall have no other gods before me. Do not create false images. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. But the last six commandments have to deal with how we relate to others and how we relate and love others in our life. And the fifth commandment, all of our important relationships in life are in play here. The fifth commandment has to deal with how we treat our parents. The sixth is our spouse in marriage. And then seventh through tenth is how we love and relate to our neighbors. And I do not believe that the placement of these commandments is random. I believe there is purpose as to why this is. Why in this section of loving others, the fifth commandment, honor your parents, is first. Tim Keller says here that it is respect for your parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. One other author writes that if we don't respect authority in the home, how are we going to respect it anywhere? We respect our parents and we love our parents, and when we learn to do that in our home, we will learn to do it elsewhere. If we are going to love and treat others as Christ has loved us and as God intended us for us to do, we need to start with the way that we treat our parents. You see this in our society, the kids who treat their bosses with respect, the kids who treat their teachers with respect and their coaches, our kids who are taught in the home how to love and honor their parents. It starts with how we treat our parents. And the word honor in this verse is the Hebrew word kaved, which actually means heavy or weighty. In this context, then, to honor means to treat your parents with a heaviness or a weightiness. It means to give due weight to their position of authority. God has established parents as the authority in the home, and we are to give honor and weight to their position. The same word, kaved, is actually used in the Old Testament for the word, it's also the word glory. And when the Bible speaks of the glory of God, it's the same word here as honor. It's weight and heaviness is the glory. Now, not to say by any means that our parents are on the same level as God, but it does mean that we should regard our parents with a certain level of heaviness and weight, as in the glory in the name of God. We are to acknowledge the weight and the seriousness of the authority of our parents and the significance of the role that God has established and put them in. And the opposite of honoring your parents is, of course, to dishonor your parents and to have a total lack of regard for their authority. In the Old Testament, There are serious consequences for dishonoring your parents. Have you ever looked through the Bible and realized how often God talks about dishonoring parents and gives examples and talks about the punishments for those? There's quite a few. I'll give you two examples here. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon them." And Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21 says this, "If a man has a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of them and bring him out to the elders of the city, and they shall say to the elders, 'This, our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice.' And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones." Deuteronomy 21. Now I realize that we are in the era of grace here. This does not necessarily apply to us today. So please, parents, do not go home and do that. However, the fact that this is included in the Mosaic law here, the fact that this is included in God's law shows that God is serious about this, that God is serious about the way that we treat our parents. The parent-child relationship is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be laughed at or disregarded. We are to honor our parents and to have great respect for them and to hold them in high esteem. So what does it look like to honor our parents? I realize that this commandment, it applies to all of us, but it has different applications for us as we are in different stages of our life. As a young child, honoring your parents looks different than as a young adult or as a older adult. In different stages, it applies differently to you and where you are. For children, one of the primary ways that we honor our parents is by obeying them. We obey our parents. Children, when your parents tell you to do something, listen to them. I promise that your parents and I did not team up for this message this morning. Listen to your parents. Paul says here in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When your mom or dad tells you to take out the trash, listen and do it right away. Don't say, "Ugh, I'll do it later," but get up and do it now. When your mom or dad tells you to, not watch PG-13 movies or not listen to a certain music artist, that doesn't mean that you do it when you're away from your parents. It means you don't do it at all. It means that you honor and respect your mother and your father and you listen to what they say. When your mom or dad tells you to be home by 6 o'clock, that means 6 o'clock. It even means probably 5:45 to be on the safe side. It doesn't mean 7 or 7:30 or 8. It means be on time. Listen to your parents. Obey your parents. Obey what they say. The only reason that you should ever disobey your parents is if they tell you to sin or tell you to do something that dishonors God. Other than that, children, you are to honor and obey your parents in all things and at all times. And one way that you honor your parents through obedience is by obeying out of gratitude and obeying cheerfully and not begrudgingly. When they ask you to take out the trash, don't do it with a scowl on your face, but do it cheerfully and happily. On to the Lord. You show honor by delighting in obeying your parents. Why? Why should you obey your parents? Why should you obey? I'll give you four reasons here as to why you should obey your parents. I'm sure your parents have a lot more reasons than this, but I'll give you four from the Word of God here. First, you obey your parents because by doing so, it is an act of obedience to God. Looking at this passage in Ephesians 6, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This phrase, in the Lord, actually means that in your obedience to the Lord and to his commandments, you also obey your parents. You obey your parents out of your obedience to the Lord. 1 John 3:24 says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God's in them. And at the conclusion of Ecclesiastes, the writer, which is most likely Solomon, says this, says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is to keep the commandments of God. And if you love God and have a sincere and genuine faith, you will obey his commandments, and you will delight in obeying his commandments, and you will know that obeying the commandments is the way to true life. And obedience to parents is one of God's commandments. Obedience to parents is how we obey God. And when you obey your parents, you are obeying and conforming to the will of God. When you disobey your parents, you're also disobeying God. When you disobey your parents, you are also disobeying God. But when you obey your parents, you are also obeying God. Another reason to obey is that it is pleasing to God. It is pleasing to God. We saw that in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. God delights in your obedience. It makes him happy to see his children obey authority and give honor to whom honor is due. When you disobey, it grieves God, but when you obey, it pleases him. The simple act of saying yes to your parents makes God smile, and it makes him happy. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:1 that when you obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. It is right in the sense of it is righteous behavior. It is glorifying God, making his name holy. But it's also right in the sense of it is right of how God's family is supposed to function, right in the sense of God's design, right in the sense of his intention. The family is when children obey their parents, the family is functioning as God established it to function. And this is right. And last, obey your parents so that it will go well with you. So that it will go well with you. We see in Ephesians 6, Paul says in verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is, of course, a reference to and a reiteration of the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. And the promise that if you honor your father and mother, your days may be long in the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you. Now, what does this mean, that your days will be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you? It's important to recognize that this is not a promise of long life. This is not a promise that you will live to 100 years old, that you will have a long life expectancy. This is not, nor is it a promise that you will have health and prosperity and success in life. That's not what this necessarily is a promise for. The Hebrew, this phrase, be long in the land, is actually a Hebrew phrase that means the fullness of God's blessing. The idea here is that if you honor and if you obey, you will reap the fullness of God's blessing in your life. He will bestow his blessings upon you. One author calls this the transfer of heavenly realities into your earthly history. There is a parallel here between our relationship with God and our relationship with our parents. If you obey God and his commands, it will go well with you. You will have spiritual growth and vitality in your life. But if you disobey God, you bring harm upon yourself, and you will reap the devastating consequences of sin in your life. The same thing with our relationship with our parents. If we obey our parents, it will go well with us. There will be peace. There will be harmony. There will be union in the family. But if we disobey, we bring destruction onto ourselves, and conflict and unrest into our family life. I told you the story at the beginning of my own personal family life. And one of the reasons that I bring this up is because in my family, for over 4 years of my life, there was no peace in our house. There was no peace in my life, in my parents' life, in my brother's life, all because of my disobedience. And every day in my house, it was like we were in a battlefield. And I was solely focused on myself and what I wanted to do. And one sad piece of this was how it affected the other members of my family. A couple of years ago, my brother was at a camp that he worked at when he was in college, and he was asked to share his life story. And one of the things that he said in his life story at this camp was, "I felt like my parents never paid attention to me when I was in high school because they were so focused on my older brother and his problems and his disobedience." And that pains me to my soul to this day that he said that. You know, I have two younger brothers, but I never went to their soccer games. I never went to their award ceremonies. I never went to their camping trips, whatever else they had when they were in high school. I feel like I don't even know them because I never paid attention to them when they were kids. And this pains me to my soul to this day, all because I was so focused on myself and what I wanted to do. My parents were so focused on me, staying up every night crying and praying for me, because I was just so focused on myself. If you think your disobedience is only affecting you, it is not. It is affecting other people. It has far-reaching and negative consequences, reaching the people around you in negative ways. And my actions have caused lasting damage in the lives of those around me, and it's taken years and years to repair and reconcile. And to this day, my brothers and I have a much better relationship. If you ever wondered why I have a picture of them on the wall of my office, it's because I've been working in the last couple of years to repair and restore my relationship with them. It might be a little weird for me to have a pet picture of my brothers in my office, but I don't care because I love them, and I'm working on restoring that. When we care for when we honor our parents and obey them and love them as we should, there is peace and there is harmony in the family as a whole, and there is blessing, the blessing that God intends for it to be. If you want to experience all that God has for you in this life, if you want to experience the spiritual blessings that he has for you and for your family, and the joy-filled life that he gives freely to you as his children, obey your parents. Obey them and listen to their instruction. For the Israelites in the Old Testament, this promise meant that if they honored their parents, they would reap the fruit of the blessings in the land their Lord, their God, was giving them. In the promised land, the land of Canaan. But as we know, one of the major storylines in the Old Testament was the nation of Babylon coming to take the Israelites captive and taking them into exile and out of the promised land that the Lord gave them and into a new and foreign land. In Ezekiel chapter 22, the prophet Ezekiel gives a long list of reasons for why this is happening. Ezekiel chapter 22, in verse 7 of Ezekiel chapter 22, he says, out of a list of many other reasons, he says, "Father and mother are treated in contempt in you." And he says this, among any other reasons, was one of the reasons why the Israelites were made a reproach to the nations and a mockery to other countries. This was one of the reasons why they were taken out of the land the Lord was giving them and into captivity. They were told if they honored their mother and father, they would live long in the land their Lord, their God, has given them, but they did not. So this, among other reasons, was why they were taken captive into exile. They did not reap the fruit of the blessings in the land that God had given them. We too have an inheritance. What is the land that the Lord has given us? We have an inheritance that we have, eternal life with Jesus. For All those who place their faith and trust in him have the promise of eternal life, the promised land that God graciously gives to all who place their faith and trust in him. But we have been taken captive by sin, taken captive by our rebelliousness, taken captive by our willful rebellion against God. But if you call upon the name of Jesus and place your faith and your trust in him, he will save you. He will save you and he will bring you into this promised land, and you will reap the fruit of the blessings both in this life and for all of eternity in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And one day, you are not saved by your obedience. You're not saved by works, but your obedience to parents is fruit of your salvation and evidence that you have been saved, and evidence that one day you will experience the eternal blessings of being with Christ forever and ever in the land that he is giving you. And you will reap the eternal blessings of being in a right relationship with your heavenly Father. This is a promise for all of us today that if you believe and trust in Jesus, you will spend eternity with him. And so for you who will still live under your parents' roof, honoring your parents looks like obeying them. But for the rest of us in this room, what does honoring our parents look like? My guess is that if you are an adult who no longer live under your parents' roof, you probably do not have to call your parents and ask them for permission to do things, like have a second cookie for dinner or something like that. You're probably okay to do that if you want to do that. But we still are called to honor our parents. So what does that look like? Here are a couple of thoughts. First, seek out and listen to their counsel. Seek out and listen to their counsel. Parents, whether they are 50 years old or 100 years old, love to give advice. They love to give wisdom. They love to give instruction to their kids. And if you are facing a difficult situation in life, if you are facing an adverse situation in life and wondering how to deal with it, call your mom, call your dad. Most likely they have experienced that before in their life. They have the life experience and the know-how to be able to walk you through that. Listen to them and their instruction. This is especially important for you teenagers and young adults in the room, because there is great temptation at your age to value the advice of your friends or the advice of social media influencers over the advice of your parents. But believe it or not, your parents are a lot smarter than you give them credit for. And when you turn your ear to them, you will gain wisdom, a wisdom that is far greater than the wisdom, so-called wisdom, of your peers. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Proverbs 13, 1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." You show honor to your parents when you seek their input. No matter how old you are, you show honor to your parents when you seek their input. You seek their counsel. You give them an opportunity to speak into your life, and then you heed that instruction. Secondly, care for your parents. Care for your parents. I know many of you are in this boat now, caring for aging parents. And if you're not in this boat now, you will one day be there. This is the future for you. When our parents get older, we have a responsibility to care for them. Did you know this is a biblical mandate also? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." The scripture teaches us that if a widow has no one, then the church should take care of them. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, then it is the children's or grandchildren's responsibility to care for them. They should care for them as a return for how the parents have what they have done for them in their life, as a return for them and their faithfulness to caring for them. Paul continues in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." These are serious words here. We have a biblical mandate to care for our parents. If you have aging parents, you show honor to them by taking them to their doctor's appointments, helping them manage their financials, helping them get their house in order, giving them their medicine, and so on. This may be burdensome. It may be time-consuming. It may be exhausting. Not maybe, it is exhausting for those of you who are in that boat. But do not view it as such. View it as the Lord's work. You're doing the Lord's work, and knowing that as your care in these matters is pleasing to the Lord. And third, speak well of them. Speak well of your parents. How do you speak well about your parents? How do you speak about your parents? How do you speak about your parents when you're around others? How do you speak about your parents when you're with your siblings? Or when you're with your kids, even? How do you speak about them to others? Do you make fun of them? Do you complain about them? Do you talk wrongly about them? Do you gossip or start rumors? How do you speak about your parents to others? You can cause great damage with the way you speak about your parents. That Leviticus verse that I mentioned earlier talks about the punishment for cursing your parents was being put to death. And again, that doesn't apply to us, but it goes to show just how serious God is about how we talk about our parents. You can cause great damage with the way that you speak about your parents. James says in James 3 verse 5, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." I encourage you, speak highly of your parents. Speak well of them in public. Speak well of them to others. Do not complain or talk negatively about them. It especially applies to those of you whose parents, maybe your parents have passed. Speak well of them to those who might not have known your parents. Speak well of them to your kids or grandkids who might not know your parents. Don't tarnish their legacy, but speak highly of them. Speak highly of their reputation and hold them in high regard as you speak. And fourth, serve them. Paul says in Philippians 2, 3 through 4, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Serve your parents, whether you're young or you're old. Serve your parents. Kids, if this is you, don't just wait for your parents to tell you to take out the trash. Do it on your own initiative. Get up and do it, and then come in and volunteer to do the dishes, to make dinner. Do things out of your own initiative. Take the effort to serve your parents. For the others of you, serve your parents by going to their house. Make them dinner. Give them food. Take them out to eat. Sit down and play a game with them. Take them to their appointments. Serve them. Put their needs above your own. Clean out their garage. Take all the stuff out of their house that was yours when you were a kid. Honor your parents by serving them. Spend time with them. We all have very busy lives, and it can be easy to neglect spending time with our parents. But we honor our parents by spending time with them. When we take the time to sit with them, we take the time to visit with them, we take the time to ask them about their life, to ask them about their week, to share life with them. And this means the world to your parents when you spend time with them. If your parents are far away, you can do this over the phone or Zoom calls. Answer your parents' phone calls. Answer their text messages. Respond to them. Just the other day, my mother called me, and I was in the middle of painting at my house, and I did not give her the time of day, and I was giving her one-word answers when I was talking to her and really not in a good mood. And I was really convicted of that, and a couple of days later, I called her back, and I apologized to that. And she told me that after she hung up the phone from me, she was crying because she was so upset with how I treated her. Give your parents the time of day. When they call, speak to them. Take time. Stop whatever you're doing and talk to them. Learn from them. Speak with them. Take the time to do that. Honor your parents by spending time with them. Pray for them. Pray for your parents. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, one thing about this commandment to honor your mother and father is most commentators note that this can also apply to honoring all those who are in authority, not just mother and father, but all those who are in authority. And so we can also think about one way that we honor our mother and father is by also applying all the scriptures that talk about how we treat those in authority. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior." I didn't really think about it until after I was writing this up, but in almost all of these verses that I've shared, the phrase, "This is pleasing to God our Savior," or "This is pleasing to God," is in here somewhere. It is pleasing to God when we obey our parents. It is pleasing to God when we pray for our parents. How often do you pray for your parents? Maybe you do this regularly, but how often do you pray for your parents? If you are not already doing this, I encourage you to commit to regular prayer for your parents. Call them up and ask them for their prayer request. Ask them, "How can I be praying for you this week, Mom or Dad? What's going on in your life that I can be praying for you about?" Pray for your parents and be diligent in praying for their request. How do you honor parents who might be difficult? Maybe you're in this room and you feel like, "My parents are just so difficult." Maybe they've abused you in some way. Or maybe they've hurt you or caused tremendous pain in your life. How do you honor parents who are difficult? I'll give you a couple of thoughts here. First, forgive them. Forgive them. You are not honoring your parents by holding a grudge against them. You are not honoring your parents by being bitter towards them in your heart. Forgive them. Forgive them and overlook their offense just as Jesus has done for you. This does not mean that you necessarily have to be best of friends with them, but it means that you can release the pain and the burden from your heart and forgive them and don't hold it against them. Second, remember and speak about the good in their life. Maybe your parents have been difficult, but you can honor them by being grateful for the good things they have done for you in your life. And call them up and show them appreciation for the good things they have done in your life. If you can't think of anything, think of at least one that they brought you into this world. They brought you here. They've given you life. They provided for you. Call them and tell them, "I'm thankful for the ways that you have done good for me in my life." Pray for them. Praying for your parents can soften your heart towards them. Pray for them, and as you pray for them, God will soften your heart and give you a new outlook towards them. This verse in Romans chapter 12, 17 through 18 says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Do you catch what Paul is saying here? As far as it depends on you. Some of us might have parents who are difficult. We might have parents who are hard to love. But the scripture here says, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You cannot control how your parents do things. You cannot necessarily control your parents' attitude or their outlook or what they do or what they don't do. But you can control how you respond. You can control your attitude. You can control your heart. And so as far as it depends on you, live peacefully at all. As far as it depends on you, give thought to do what is honorable. Do what you can and do your part here in seeking to honor them and do as you must. Out of all of these things here, in this list and the previous list, I would encourage you to pick one thing. What is one thing the Lord is telling you to do this morning that you need to show honor to your parents for? Maybe it's serving them, listening to them, caring for them, speaking well of them, spending time with them, praying for them, forgiving them. I'd encourage you to take one thing from this list and apply it into your life and work it out in your life this week. Honor your parents no matter how old you might be. Last, we must remember that none of us are perfect. Even our parents aren't perfect. We all fail, and we all fail to not honor our parents as well as we should. We all fail to treat our parents with the respect they deserve. We all fail to give our parents the authority that is the weight that their authority calls for. But there is one person who perfectly fulfilled this commandment, and that is Jesus. Have you ever thought about how Jesus perfectly honored his mother and father? In Luke chapter 2, when he was preaching in the temple as a young boy, his mother and father came to find him. And Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says that he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus, the sinless Savior of the world, had no need to be obedient to parents. He had no need to listen to them. He was not sinful. But yet he submitted to his parents' authority. He obeyed them. He submitted to them and he listened to them. At the end of his life, in John chapter 19, when he was on the cross, he gave John, the disciple, to care for his mother, Mary, and made sure that her needs were met in her life, and made sure that she was cared for. He took care of his mother. And last, and perhaps the most important example, he submitted himself to the will of his Father. John 6, 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus fully submitted to the will of his Father. When he was on the cross, he could have easily fought himself off. He had the power to just walk off if he wanted to. He had the power to just stop it altogether and not do that. But yet, he went. He said, "Not my will, but your will." He yielded up his spirit, and he entrusted himself to the will of the Father and said, "God, not my will, but your will." Jesus is the perfect example here. And we can look to him as our example and know that he perfectly obeyed his mother and father. And we can look to him as our advocate because he perfectly obeyed, but he gives us grace and mercy. And he forgives us when we do not honor our mother and father as well as we should. And we can look to him because in his arms there is grace upon grace upon grace for all of us who fail in this area. And I encourage you to look to Jesus as our example. Look to Jesus as our Savior, because he is the one who has the power to save you from your disobedience, to save you from all of these things and the pain and the ruin of sin, and to bring you into the promised land that he is willing and so graciously giving you. So honor your mother and father so that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for this commandment. Thank you, Lord, for our parents. Thank you for the people that you have given us to provide for us, to shepherd us, to lead us. And I pray that you would help us all to honor them as we should. I pray that you would help us to know and think about the ways that we have not honored them. And I pray that you'd give us the strength and the mercy and the courage to do this. I pray that you would help us to repent of ways that we have not. And I pray that you would lead us. Pray that you would speak to us. Give us just one way that we can apply this into our life this week. And I pray that you would strengthen all of our relationships with our parents. May they be glorifying and honoring to you. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.